Morning, today's Daf and Yuma, Nun Aleph, we are towards the bottom of Nun Amud Beis. We are in the middle of the Gemara's discussion, the part of the Kohen Gadol. Yesterday, in detail, we discussed many aspects of the Park Shel Kohen Gadol that is offered on Yom Kippur. Remember, the Park Shel Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing vidu on this part, not once, but twice. First time he does vidu, it's going to be for himself and for his immediate family. Second vidu he's going to be doing is for all the Kohanim. So, it's going to be shechted, and the dam eventually is going to be brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, sprinkled towards the direction of the Aron, and then all the other hazas which are going to be done, which we're going to be going over shortly enough in our Masechta. So this partial Kohen Gadol, it's a carbon chatas. That part is unequivocal, that part's clear. Good, we know it's a carbon chatas. Is it a carbon yachid, is it a carbon sibor? The term carbon sibor is a little bit of a strong term, perhaps too strong, to describe it, because sibor means it's public, and for sure it's not a public carbon, right? Public carbon, by definition, is going to be purchased by, well, we're going to work a little bit on the definition today, okay, but to say it simply, carbon sibor is a carbon that's purchased with public money. So we already spent a mesechta, just one mesechta ago in Shkalim, talking about the collection of money by the from the public, so that there could be a purchase of public carbon. It's a carbon talmid, it's a public carbon. Good. So the partial Kohen Gadol is not a public carbon in that regard, meaning that there's we know for sure, and it's going to open up one of our brises in today's daf. We know for sure that when purchased, you're going to be purchasing using his private money, and it's not coming from public money. In fact, no other coin can even contribute to the purchase of the part of the Kohen Gadol. So to call it a public carbon is for sure too strong a language, but maybe. And this is what the Gemara deliberated yesterday. Maybe it's a carbon shel shutfus. Maybe it's a partnership carbon. Why would I call it partnership carbon? Because we know that all the Kohanim are getting a kapara through this carbon. Okay, but generally speaking, you know, you do follow the money. And generally speaking, are the other Kohanim providing money for this carbon? The answer is no. It's only the Kohen Gadol. He himself is going out of his own pocket in order to pay for this carbon. So to call it a partnership carbon is a little bit of a stretch, but the Gemara was ready to make that stretch yesterday and call it a carbon shel shutfus. So right now we're straddling from yesterday's daf in terms of whether or not the partial Kohen Gadol is a carbon yachid, or maybe it's a carbon shel shutfus. What's going to be the practical difference between the two? So as we learned in yesterday's Amud Beis, and that's going to be a tamura. So can it be used to effect a tamura? A tamura is, to borrow yesterday's terrible pun, and then to repeat it today. Okay, early off in the daf as well, in the intro, and that is to create a carbon copy, so that you take the kedusha of this carbon and you transfer it over to another carbon. And the Torah says, "Vayahu smura so yekodesh." It and its and its tamura in its exchange are going to both have the kedusha. So does it effect a tamura? Now, again, as I pointed out yesterday, Torah is not condoning it. The Torah does not want us to be creating tamuras, but nevertheless, does it work? And the answer is, it depends. If it's a carbon yachid, so then yes, it can affect tamura. If it's a carbon shel shutfus, it cannot affect tamura, because again, rule number one, right, or as I equivocated yesterday, right, one of the top three rules of tamura, it only applies to a carbon yachid, it doesn't apply to a carbon shel shutfus, and certainly doesn't apply to a carbon sibor. Fine. So can it affect tamura? So that was yesterday's discussion as well. So if it's a carbon yachid, it can affect tamura. If it's a carbon shel shutfus, it cannot affect tamura. So where do we land on this issue? Okay, so what we are in the middle of discussing is, we haven't landed yet. And if I can give away some of today's daf, we're not going to land on this issue. Meaning this is one of those issues which is going to remain a bit of a mystery in terms of the nature of the carbon of the partial Kohen Gadol. But we're trying. The Gemara is going to make an attempt to try to ascertain whether it's a carbon yachid or it's a carbon shel shutfus. That's we're in the middle of discussing. Good. That's a general overview of what we've been discussing yesterday, and most of today is going to be a carryover of that discussion. Today we're really going to be tying up loose ends, or at least attempting to tie up loose ends. And then when we get to the last part of today's daf, so we're going to be talking more about the Kohen Gadol now making his way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? It's a progression. The entire Masechta is one lengthy progression of doing the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So that comes up later on. But meanwhile, let's start today's daf. Now, in order to appreciate where we're going to begin, so we had a brisa yesterday. And the brisa compared the Zevach, the initial carbon, to that of a tamura. You know, there are chumras that you have by zevach that you have, that you don't have by tamura. And conversely, you have chumras by tamura that you don't have by zevach. Zevach over here just simply means an initial consecration of the animal. And tamura, of course, is its exchange. So what do you have by zevach that you don't have by tamura? So the Braisa yesterday listed a host of things that you find. The Braisa says, what is the chumras? So chomer bezevach shazevach noig biyachid kibitzibur. This is all just a review, but necessary just to appreciate the beginning of today's daf. So the so when it comes to a zevach, the initial hakdasha, so there it applies to a private carbon, a public carbon. It overrides the Shabbos, it overrides tuma, and it can affect tamura. Okay, that is all chumras that you have by the zevach, and you don't have that by tamura. Meaning, everything we just described is not going to exist by tamura. By tamura, it only applies to a yachid, not to a tzibur. By tamura, it's not going to override Shabbos. It's not going to override tuma. And the tamura itself, you can't make a tamura with a tamura. Right? That second derivative, you can't do. The derivative number one that you can create. Again, not allowed to, but you can. It works. But the second derivative, a derivative from a derivative, that you cannot do. Good. And then, chomer b'tmur b'zevach, and you know you have chomers of tmur that you have over zevach. And that is, that when it comes to tmura, so chal al ba'mum kavua. So it applies to ba'mum kavua, an animal which is a physically blemished animal. And you want to affect it as a tmura, it works. It works. It takes effect. Now what does that mean? You're not going to be offering it as a carbon, obviously. It's a ba'mum. But what it means is that it has kedushas aguf and not kedushas damim. And that means that when you do redeem it, so it's still going to have residual kedusha. Like psula hamukdashim. We went over this yesterday. Good. So that was the braisa now, just doing a side-by-side comparison of zevach versus tamura. Now why is all that relevant to our discussion? Because as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, when the braisa said the word zevach, so what was the braisa making reference to? So, and that's exactly what the Gemara wanted to know. So, hi zevach echidami. So this is where we're gonna pick it up in the Gemara. I did this yesterday, but it's really just, it's all one long sentence, and so I guess we're gonna pick up right over here. It's about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud on Nun Amud Beis. So hi zevach echidami, ilay mediachi, midachi, Shabbos v'tumah. So when we say zevach over here, what zevach are we making reference to? So, are you talking about, a carbon yachid, a standard carbon yachid? That's not gonna override Shabbos, and it's not gonna override tumah. What you need to override Shabbos and Tumah is typically a carbon tzibur. That's a point we're going to get back to a little bit later on this morning also. So, ela de tzibur mi osa tamura. Now, it can't be a carbon tzibur because a carbon tzibur can't affect tamura. So, as we pointed out yesterday, and we're just quickly reviewing, so we're a little bit stuck, aren't we? Meaning we're looking for a carbon which is on one hand a carbon yachid, on the other hand is going to affect tamura. We're looking for a carbon that is, we're looking for a carbon that is a carbon yachid that can affect tamura, but on the other hand, it's the kind of carbon that can override Shabbos and tumah. So what is that, what is that mystery carbon? So el alav par, so it must be the par kohen gadol yom kippur. V'dochus ha-shabbos v'esa tumah de'kvilei zman. Now, as far as overriding Shabbos and tumah is concerned, so of course it's going to override Shabbos and tumah because it has a fixed calendaric time in which it has to be offered, otherwise known as the 10th day of Tishrei, a.k.a. Yom Kippur. Fine. So it's going to override Shabbos, it's going to override Tumah. V'osa Tumor de Karban Yachidu. And it can affect Tumor because it's a Karban Yachid. And good. And that's exactly where we want to be. Meaning now, if we're right, and we made a logical leap, but if we're right, if what the Bryce is describing is the Par Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur, so now we have successfully ascertained that it is a carbon yachid. That's what the Gemara was trying to figure out, and it sounds like we have landed. The Gemara says not necessarily. I'm Rav Sheshes lo be'elo sha'aron. So Rav Sheshes says, nah, it's not talking about the parts, talking about the aisle. The Kohen Gadol is going to also be offering an aisle on Yom Kippur as well. It is a carbon ola. That's what the Braisa can be making reference to. And if that's true, so therefore it does not, it is not going to be any kind of indicator regarding the Par Kohen Gadol. Meaning basically now this Braisa is not relevant to our discussion. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, I really do think it's talking about the aisle. I don't think it's talking about the Par. The Gemara says, Hachinami Mistabra. Really, it's more reasonable to say this. Isakadacha de paro, because if you think we're talking about the par, so tamur de par, Shabbos v'tumah udolodacha habachol makriv karva, Let me ask you a question. If we're talking about the par, so here's what it sounds like. It sounds like that the tamura of a par is not going to be able to override Shabbos. It's not going to be able to override tama, but during the week we're allowed to offer it. During the week we're allowed to offer it. It can't be right. Of course you can't offer it during the week. Why not? Very simple. Hatamur chatas, yutamur chatas lamisa azla. Because consider that if in fact we're talking about the par is a carbon chatas. And so over here, if we're doing an exchange, it's called tamur chatas. What is tamur chatas? One of the five chataos amesos. One of the five types of carbon chatases where it has to be disposed of. You can't offer it under any circumstance. Not on any day. So the Gemara says, okay. So the, so it must be talking about the aisle. Okay. So, so this is where we ended off yesterday. And so with an introduction and just a quick recap of yesterday's daf. So the Gemara's trying to figure out whether the par is a karban yachid. We thought we had it. The Gemara says, Rav Shesha says, no, we don't have it. Because the Braisa is in fact not talking about the par, but rather it's talking about the aisle. The Gemara says, lo. The Gemara says, well, I'd like to try to resurrect our original pshat. The Bryce is talking about the par. La olam paro. No, it's talking about the par. Umay tamura. Now, it perplexed us. Because if it's talking about the par, so then we said, oh yeah, but if you made a tamura's par, so then you can't offer it on Shabbos, and you can't offer it on in a state of tuma, but you can offer it the rest of the week. And we were bothered by the fact that you can't offer it the rest of the week. Again, tamura's par is otherwise known as the tamura's chatas, and the tamura's chatas is holech lemisa. So that's what bothered us. So the Gemara says, well, you didn't understand the Braisa properly. When the Braisa was talking about Tamura, it was talking about the category of Tamura. Meaning when it was talking about Zevach, it was talking about but just one carbon. But when it was talking about Tamura, it was talking about the general category of Tamura. So my Tamura, shame Tamura. Tamura over here just simply means the general category of Tamura. So Ihachi Zevach Nami Shame Zevach. So the Gemara says, okay, well, why don't you say the same thing regarding Zevach? Meaning you're so sure, you're so convinced that Tamura is the category of Tamura. Well, maybe Zevach is the category of Zevach, meaning it's talking about all carbonos, not just the carbon of the par. So Shem Zevach Lo Ketani. So the Gemara says, no, it's not talking about the category of Zevach. Well, how do I know that? Umimai midiktani, because again, we're going to go back to the Braisa, and we're going to take a good look at one of the lines of the Braisa. Chomer b'tamur she'tamur chal alba mum kavua ve'inu yosei l'chulun ligazes ve'le'yaved. You know, Tamura has a chumra over that of the initial carbon. Why? Because it can apply to a baal mum, right? As we just pointed out moments earlier. So if the animal is a physically blemished animal, where under normal circumstances, if I try to give it initial kedusha, it does not take, meaning it won't have kedusha seguf. It only will have kedusha dama. But meanwhile, with a Tamura, it's going to give it kedusha seguf. Not just kedushas damim. Good. Now, isa gadat chamay zevach shem zevach. So the Gemara says, now, what do you think? Well, you think we're talking about all karbanos when we say zevach? You think zevach is the category of karbanos? Gemara says that's impossible, because over here vahayika, as we turn to the top of nunalef and manalef, vahayika bechura meiser dechal na ba'mum kavua ve'in yodzin lechulun ligazus ve'le'aved. You know, by zevach, by the initial karban, there are a couple of examples where even though it's a ba'mum, it will take effect. And it will have the Kedusha Saguf. Notably, Bechor and Meiser Behema. By Bechor, Meiser Behema, your firstborn animal. Firstborn animal comes out blemished. Does it have Kedusha Saguf? Yes. Now, you can't offer it, obviously, but it's going to have Kedusha Saguf because it's Kedusha Somei Rechem. The Kedusha comes in utero. Additionally, when it comes to Meiser Behema, even if it's a Baal Mum, it's going to have Kedusha. How do I know that? So Rashi over here on the top of the Amun quotes is Rasha. But just intuitively, we know it's correct. I mean, aside from the fact that we have a drasha. But intuitively, how do you do Meiser Behema? The animals come out of that small entrance of the fence, one by one. And you cannot adjust which animal is going to come out. There's a certain randomness to the animals coming out. Tenth animal, regardless of its status, the Torah says, Lo yivakir bein tov l'ra. You can make no discrimination of what animal is going to come out number 10, and whatever animal it is, it's going to have the Kedusha Meiser Behema. Even if it's a Baal Mum, it's still going to have the Kedusha Meiser Behema. So here we have two examples of initial Kedusha, where it's going to have Kedusha Seguf. So when the Braisa said, you know, by Tamura, it's going to take effect to a Baal Mum, and that's not true by Zevach. Well, if Zevach meant the entire category of Zevach, well, that's just simply not true, as we just pointed out. by the end, by Zevach, if we were talking about the whole category, well, you do have Bechor, and you do have, and you do have Maaser Behema that do in fact take effect even on a Baal Mum. So Zevach therefore must be referring to a particular carbon. And again, what we're trying to argue, what we're trying to advance, is that it's talking about the par. So El Hashem Zevach Lo Ketani. Umayshna. So the Gemara says, okay, so now when we go back to the Brice, so the Brice is really uneven. Meaning the Brice is doing a side-by-side comparison of Zevach and Temura. So Temura, we're arguing, is talking about the category of Temura. Zevach is only talking about one carbon. Again, and we're trying to argue that it's par. Regardless, the Gemara says, you know, it's really strange. So here we're comparing Zevach and Temura, and by Temura, what are we saying? It's a whole category of Temura. And by Zevach, we're saying it's one carbon. It's just unbalanced. Why would the Braisa do that? Umayshna. So the Gemara succinctly articulates that question in two words. So the Gemara says, well, how does the Braisa do that? So Temura Shem Temura Achasi, Zevachika Bechor Vika Maiser. But the Gemara's answer is really simple. Because by Temura, we could talk categorically. Meaning there's not going to be an exception, there's no exclusion. When it comes to Temura, all Temura Karbanos follow the rule. So that's why when the Braisa was talking about Temura, was talking about any animal that became a Temura. As opposed to Zevach, not all Karbanos are the same, right? Some Karbanos are not going to have Kedusha, or I should say better. Most Karbanos are not going to have Kedusha when they're a Baal Mum. They're not going to receive Kedusha Seguf, but there are a handful of Karbanos, i.e. Bechor and Maaser Behema, that are going to receive Kedusha Seguf, even though they're a Baal Mum. So it just simply, by its nature, by design, we know that we can't be talking about all the Karbanos, and therefore, it's only talking about one carbon. If it's not talking about all of them, it's only talking about one of them. Okay, so, where do we stand right now? It's very simple. I know the Gemara is a little bit complicated, but in terms of where we stand right now, we did not land the plane. In other words, we're trying to ascertain in terms of the Par Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur, whether it's a carbon yachid or it's a carbon shel shutfus. We just quoted a brisa. The brisa was comparing side by side Zevach and Temura, and it sounds like the Zevach we're describing, we know it's not talking about all the carbonos. We know it's talking about one carbon. Presumably it's talking about the Par Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur. And the reason why is because we're looking for the carbon, which is a carbon yachid, but at the same time it's going to be overriding Shabbos and overriding Tumah, and we think it's the Par Kohen Gadol. And if we're right, meaning the Braisa only uses the word Zevach, but if we're right, so then we concluded. The problem is that we didn't conclude, because Rav Sheshet says that before the Braisa could be understood as talking about the Par Kohen Gadol, maybe the Braisa is talking about the aisle. Okay, and if it's talking about the aisle, so then we have no proof. So where we land right now is that we didn't land the plane. The Gemara just has one quick follow-up question to end the whole discussion. Ula Rav Sheshes Ademukim Leib Elo Shal Aaron Lukma BePesach the Dochus Hashabbos Vesa Tuma Vaosa Tamur De Carbon Yachid Hu. So the Gemara wants to know. You know, Rav Sheshes deflected the proof. Good. Right. That's how we start off the morning. I'm wondering, says the Gemara. I'm curious. You know, I understand that he's trying to deflect. But instead of the Braisa talking about the aisle, you know, the Braisa could be talking about the carbon Pesach. Meaning, what are we looking for? We're looking for a carbon which is a carbon yachid. Okay. Carbon Pesach, a carbon yachid? Hold that thought. We're looking for a carbon, which is a carbon yachid, and is going to override Shabbos and going to override Tumah. Now, here's what we know for sure. Carbon Pesach is overriding Shabbos and overriding Tumah, right? We spent a perek in Psachim discussing this very idea, that it does override Shabbos and it does override Tumah. And is it a carbon yachid? I guess it could be, meaning can one person bring a carbon Pesach? Yeah. Right? Maybe. But right now, let's say yes. Okay, let's be a little bit more, let's be a little more confident. Yeah, one person can bring a carbon Pesach. Okay, so the Brice is talking about the carbon Pesach, meaning, Rav Sheshet, I appreciate you're deflecting the proof. Okay, but rather than talking about the aisle of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, maybe it's talking about the carbon Pesach. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why he didn't say that. Kasavra ain't shochtin na Pesach al hayachid. It happens to be, Rav Sheshes is of the opinion that you don't shech the Karban Pesach, for one individual cannot shech the Karban Pesach. It's based on a drasha. This is a controversial point. But if you do subscribe to it, which Rav Sheshes does, says our Gemara right here, so that means to say that one person cannot bring one Karban Pesach. It has to be brought by at least two people. Okay, I'm not going to go through the drasha right now. You can see Rashi over here, who briefly cites the drasha. Anyway, so once you say that, So then the Karban Pesach is not an individual Karban, it's a partnership Karban, at least because remember, if you subscribe to this view, that means that minimum two people have to bring a Karban Pesach, and that means to say now that it's a partnership Karban, and a partnership Karban cannot affect the Temura. That's why he didn't put up there Karban Pesach as an example. V'nukma b'Pesach Sheni, so the Gemara says, okay, so how about Pesach Sheni? Meaning again, the Braisa just said the word Zevach, and we're trying to assign which Karban it is. So, and we're deflecting, meaning we would like it to be anything other than the Par Kohen Gadol. How about Pesach Sheni? It sounds reasonable. Pesach Sheni can be brought by one individual. That's for sure true. It's going to override Shabbos. It's going to override Tumah. Well, that last point, I'm not so sure. And the Gemara says, I'm not so sure. So, Midachi Tumah. Pesach Sheni overrides Tumah. So, Amalei Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, LeRava. Sorry. No, that was the end of a sentence. So, midachi tuma. Does it override tuma? Now, in just a moment, we're going to see together, it's a point of controversy. Whether Pesach Sheni is going to override tuma or not going to override tuma. So, the Tanaim debate this very issue. Right now, the Gemara is basically saying, I don't think you're right. I don't think it overrides tuma. And since it doesn't override tuma, so therefore it can't qualify as the zevach of the Braisa. Okay, so we're going to come back to that point in just a moment. Okay. When all is said and done. So, we had a Braisa. The Braisa said the word Zevach. It clearly was talking about a Karban Yachid. And the Gemara, almost a full Amud, attempted to describe that the Zevach is talking about the Par Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur. And what the Gemara deflected, the Gemara says not necessarily. It could be talking about the aisle. Maybe it's talking about the Karban Pesach. The Gemara didn't love that pshat. Maybe it's talking about Pesach Sheni. The Gemara too didn't love that pshat. But in other words, but there are alternative karbanos that the Braisa could be describing, and therefore we have no conclusive proof. Amalei Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua LeRava V'tana Maishan Pesach Dekarvelei Karban Yachin U'Maishan Chagiga Dekarvelei Karban Sibur. The Gemara now is asking a question where you have to go back a full daf in order to appreciate this question, right? The Gemara in daf Nun Amud Aleph, yesterday's daf's Amud Aleph. So the Gemara over there said, you know, what overrides Shabbos, what doesn't override Shabbos in terms of Karbanos? So the beginning of the discussion, which the Gemara didn't quote, is that, well, if it's a Karban Sibur, it overrides Shabbos and Tumah. And if it's a Karban Yachid, it does not override Shabbos and does not override Tumah. And to which the Braisa says, you're not right. It's apparently not true. And Amarlo Rebbe Yaakov, right, let me go in the right order. Amarlo Rebbe Meir, this is yesterday's daf, Nun Amud Aleph. So Amarlo Rebbe Meir, so v'halo par yom kippur v'chaviti kohen gadol, U'Pesach to Karban Yachid v'Dochas Hashabbos v'Satoma. You know, the Par of Yom Kippur and the Chavite Kohen Gadol and the Pesach, so they are all Karban Yachid. And they're all going to be overriding Shabbos and Tumah. Okay? And then the Braisa says, Rabbi Amarlo Rabbi Yaakov, the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur and the Siri Avodas Kochavim and the Chagiga, well, they're Karban Tzibur, and they're not going to override Shabbos and they're not going to override Tumah. Okay, fine, good. So, and we all know where the Braisa landed on yesterday's daf, and that is, it is not a function of whether it's a Karban Sibur or Karban Yachid, it's a function of Kavua Lo Zman. If it's got a calendaric date, it overrides Shabbos and Tumah. If it doesn't have a calendaric date, it's not going to override Shabbos and Tumah. Good. That was yesterday's daf. The Gemara now over here just has a follow-up question. It called the Karban Pesach a Karban Yachid. That's what the Braisa did. It called the Karban Chagiga a Karban Sibur. That's interesting labeling. And the Gemara says, and I don't understand, meaning Karban Chagiga is a Karban Sibur? It's coming from public money? It's not coming from public money. When you and I are Ola Larego, so we're going to bring Karbanos with us, and those Karbanos are going to come out of our own pocket. We're paying for those Karbanos. And the same thing is true with the Karban Pesach. Now, it happens to be that it is a group Karban in the sense that everyone's going to be doing it. Everyone's obligated to do so. So, but to call it a Karban Sibur, you're not paying for it with the public money. And so that's exactly what bothers the Gemara. So why is it that when it comes to the Karban Pesach, the Braisa yesterday described it as a Karban Yachid, but meanwhile, when it comes to the Chagiga, it calls it a Karban Sibur. And Imishum da'asa b'chenufya. So Pesach Nami asa b'chenufya. And so what do you want to argue? Well, by the Chagiga, you know, we're all going to be there in Yerushalayim. And we're all offering the Karban Chagiga. So it is a public carbon, not in the classic sense. You're not using public money, but it's public in the sense that everyone's doing it together. There is a certain collective to the carbon chagiga. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you what, the same thing is true by the carbon Pesach. There's a certain collective by the carbon Pesach. Everyone's going to be in Yerushalayim offering the carbon Pesach. So as much as we're using the term carbon sefer to describe the carbon chagiga, we should be using it the same way to describe the carbon Pesach. Okay. So Ella, so Ika Pesach Sheni. The Lo Asa Bechnufia. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what, the term is not really applicable to carbon Pesach, because part of carbon Pesach, of course, is Pesach Sheni. Now, Pesach Sheni is not done as a collective. Pesach Sheni is for anyone who failed to bring Pesach Rishon. You know, for a legitimate reason, but in other words, but still was unable to do so. So I'll bring Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is not a communal activity. In fact, just the opposite. It's for the few people who couldn't bring Pesach Rishon. So that's why the Braisa was resistant to calling the Karban Pesach a Karban Sefer, because Karban Pesach includes Pesach Sheni, and that's for sure not done as a collective. It's not done communally. So Amarlein King Yehidoches as Shabbos Vesetoma. So Amarlein, so he says, okay, so, but it should override Shabbos, it should override Tumah, and his response is, yeah. Kaman Damar Dachi, he says, yeah, I subscribe to the viewpoint that it is going to override Shabbos and it is going to override Tumah. Now, at this point in time, the Gemara here can be a little bit confusing, because moments earlier, the Gemara says that Pesach Sheni is not going to override Tumah, and now the Gemara is saying, well, you know, when it comes to Pesach Sheni, so it's calendaric, so therefore it should override Tumah. So does it or does it not override Tumah? And the answer is, it's a machlokas. D'tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Pesach Sheni doches a Shabbos veino doches a Tumah. So according to the Tanakhama, Pesach Sheni, meaning when the 14th day of Iyar falls down on Shabbos, it's going to override Shabbos and you're going to be bringing it. Why? Because it's calendaric. But eino doche es a Tumah. However, if let's say by Pesach Sheni rolls around, so you were tummy for Pesach Rishon, therefore you didn't bring it on the first Pesach, and then it happens to be that you're tummy also for Pesach Sheni. So according to the Tanakhama, that's going to be unfortunate, but you're not going to be bringing Pesach. You were given a second chance, okay. And for reasons that were just simply beyond your control, you couldn't bring it Pesach Sheni as well, fine. And Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Avto Chesotoma. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that no, Pesach Sheni is overriding Shabbos, like the Tanakhama says, and it's overriding Tumah as well. Okay. So that means to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is overriding Shabbos and overriding Tumah. And what we have over here in the Braisa is a machlokas, whether or not Pesach Sheni is in fact going to be overriding Tumah. So my time at the Tanakhama. The Gemara wants to know, what's the reason, what's the basis of the position of the Tanakhama? Am lacham imnei Tumah dechisu v'yasa b'tumah. So the Tanakhama is just going to offer what seems to be a reasonable argument. Meaning, if you're tummy, could you bring it for a Pesach Rishon? The answer is no. You're pushed off. Again, just as a reminder, if the community is tummy, if the tzibur is tummy, so then it's gonna, everyone will bring it on Pesach Rishon. But if the community is not tummy, so then you're not bringing on Pesach Rishon. So if Tumah is pushing off Pesach Rishon, so Tumah is gonna push off Pesach Sheni as well. Okay. It's called an argument. And Rav Yehuda Amalcha, so Amar Kra, Kechol Chukasa Pesach Yasu Oso. So, and what Rabbi Yehuda will tell you is that, look, let's go back to last week's Parsha. Parsha's Baal Oscha. Torah introduces us to Pesach Sheni. And the Torah says, Kechol Chukasa Pesach Yasu Oso. It's going to follow the Pesach Rishon in every respect. V'afila B'tumah. HaTorah Hechzira Alav La'asosa B'tara. So, Lo Zacha Yasera B'tumah. And as far as Tumah Tahara is concerned, look, the Torah would love us to bring it in a state of Tahara, the Pesach Sheni, but if you can't do it, so you'll bring in a state of, you'll bring in a state of Tumah. In other words, it's giving you a second opportunity. Now, in one hand, we want you now to get it right and to be in a state of Tahara. That's why you got pushed off anyway to Pesach Sheni. But if you can't be in a state of Tahara, so you bring in a state of Tumah. Okay. So, in terms of whether or not Pesach Sheni is overriding Tumah, it's a machlokas tanaim. So, the ambiguity that we saw in today's daf on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph is really reflective of the fact that it's subject to a machlokas amongst the tanaim. Okay. Adkan. We have about one more follow-up question, and really we're wrapping up. Meaning, obviously, we'll finish the daf today. But in terms of all the loose ends that came up from yesterday's daf. So today's daf is really there to tie up all loose ends, or at least try to. What? All right. So hold that thought. The Gemara is going to try one more time. So it's the right question, but let's just wait one more piece of Gemara where the Gemara is really going to try. V'tepuklei. Now, you remember, as Rashi points out over here, going back to yesterday's daf as well. Right? Again, today's daf, a lot of tying up of yesterday's daf. So remember, in yesterday's daf, we try to ascertain whether or not the par kohen gadol is a carbon yachid or a carbon sibur. Again, not carbon sibur too strong, but a carbon shutfa. So yes or no? And the Gemara noted that as part of that discussion, well, can it affect tamura? And the Gemara says, well, if you subscribe to the idea that it's a carbon yachid, so maybe it can affect tamura. But as the Gemara noted yesterday's daf, well, that's going to be a little bit challenging because we know that when it comes to tamura, who do you follow? Do you follow the sponsor of the carbon, or do you follow the miskaper, those who are receiving kapara? And you remember the Gemara said yesterday, we know the power of the Kohen Gadol is providing kapara for not only the Kohen Gadol, but for all other Kohanim as well. Even within that, the Gemara said, well, you know, even as we know that the power Kohen Gadol is providing kapara for all the Kohanim, but there are still two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is that a kapara is being provided for all the Kohanim, meaning it's a simple way to look at it. Right, if I could just go back to yesterday's daf and provide the language that we saw in yesterday's daf, hachikami baile echav a kohanim bikviusa miskapre. Kviusa means that it's fixed. It's just simply providing kapar for all the kohanim. The Gemara says, but there's another way to look at it. Odilma bikufya miskapre. Maybe it's kufya. Kufya is a hard word to translate. It's basically like spilling over, meaning that principally the par kohen gadol is providing kapar for the kohen gadol and the kohen gadol alone. I, the other Kohanim, are receiving a kapara, but that's only residually. Meaning that, principally speaking, it's for the Kohen Gadol. Even the kapara is for the Kohen Gadol. And in ways that I really can't fully articulate, the kapara spillover goes ahead and affects all the other Kohanim. But still, in terms of the true kapara that's being received, it's for the Kohen Gadol. Good. So that's how the Gemara, that's how the Gemara framed the discussion. On that, the Gemara says, I want to ask a follow-up question. As now we're starting the Amud Beis of today's daf. The Gemara says, look, on this discussion, can we arrive at a conclusion from the following? Now, when the Torah describes the par kohen gadol, the Torah says, asher lo. Not once, not twice, but three times in the parsha, the Torah says, asher lo. It's Aaron's par. Okay, so why does the Torah say it three times? I'm happy you asked. The Brisa here tells us. V'tepikle da'asher lo amar chmana mishalohu mevi. So he has to bring it from out of his own pocket. The Tanya Gemara quotes a brisa. Asher lo mishalohu mevi velo mishal tzibur. So first of all, who's paying for the par? It's coming out of the Kohen Gadol's pocket, not out of public money. Yachlo yavi mishal tzibur shein tzibur miskaperim bo. So the Gemara says, fine, the tzibur is not receiving a kapara. Aval yavi mishal achav kohanim shari achav kohanim miskaperim bo. So, but maybe he can make a collection from the other kohanim. Right, go around door to door, all the other kohanim. Hey, do me a favor, chip into the par kohen gadol. And anyway, you're receiving a kapara. So tamalam asher lo. So the second time is there to teach us that no, that he can't make a collection. All of the par has to come out of his own pocket. So yachol yaviv mevi kasher. Okay, so that's lechatzchila. But what about b'di'evin? So tamalam reshuv asher lo. So there, the Torah's repetition of the word asher lo. This is now the third time it mentions it in the parsha. So shana kasev alav la'akev. So over there, so we go back to a rule that we saw back in Zvachim plenty of times. In Yuma, I think it's the first time we're seeing the rule. But the rule is that when the Torah repeats by karbanos, so it's li'ikuva. It means that it's essential. And that means that the Kohen Gadol's paying for the par Kohen Gadol, for his par, out of his own pocket, exclusively out of his own pocket. It's not just an ideal. It is absolutely essential. There's no other way to do it. Good. So that means to say now that this brisa tells us not once, not twice, but three times that we'll follow the money. Money is coming straight out of the Kohen Gadol's pocket, exclusively out of the Kohen Gadol's pocket. And so that means to say now that I think we know who's achieving kapara through it, right? It's only the Kohen Gadol, not the other Kohanim. So going back to yesterday's daf where we were trying to frame the discussion, right? Who's receiving kapara? The other Kohanim? Or it's exclusively the Kohen Gadol and they're getting some sort of spillover. The Gemara says, I'm looking at this brisa that we just learned right now. I think it's pretty clear that the only one who's principally receiving kapara from this karban is only the Kohen Gadol, right? So the Gemara says, I don't think you're right. So if the other Kohanim are not getting a portion of the carbon, how are they receiving kapara? So what happens is that the Torah is mafkir. The Torah basically removes some ownership of it from the Kohen Gadol and transfers it over to the other Kohanim. Meaning to say that, look, in terms of the finances, all of it's coming out of the Kohen Gadol's pocket. That part is clear. But at the same time, however, what Akash Baruch Hu can do now, and presumably what he does do, is that he plays around with the money, so to say. In other words, he takes some of the shares of that karban and he transfers it over to the other Kohanim so that they can receive a kapara. And hachigabi tamura nami. Shani begazad aron dafka rechmana gabi echav kohanim. And as far as tamura is concerned, we'll say the same thing. Meaning once some of the shares of the karban are transferred by a kadosh baruch hu to the other kohanim, so now it is a partnership karban, and as such, as a partnership karban, so therefore it can't be, it cannot affect tamura. Okay, so as much as the Gemara tried its best, right, nearly a second daf on this topic, in terms of ascertaining whether the par Kohen Gadol is a carbon yachid or not a carbon yachid, the Gemara opens up the possibility that maybe not, maybe it's not a carbon yachid, maybe it's a carbon shudfus. Either Kohen Gadol paid for it exclusively. Okay. And what Akash Baruch Hu does is that he distributes shares to the other Kohanim, right? They become shareholders without having to chip in any penny, any money, right? A dream come true. They do it, right? The other Kohanim do have to make him rich, but that's in general. That's in general. Okay. Good. That is the end of the Gemara's discussion. We continue. We are now on Nun Aleph Amud Beis. We're in the Mishnah. And now we are making, we're making our move. The Kohen Gadol now, having taken the machta and the kaf, the shovel full of coals, and the spoon of kataris, he's now going to be walking into the Heichal and towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay. Everyone is oriented, right? We've done this many times. Baruch Hashem, we've done this many times before. So make sure that you got, it's a really simple scene in that the Heichal itself is rectangular in shape. There's going to be a partition, a curtain separating the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? It's one structure, but there's a Havdalah, there's partitioning. In the Heichal itself, there are only three pieces of furniture, if you will. Right? As you're walking in, you're headed eastbound. So there is, I'm just giving a guided tour. So, there's going to be a right in front of you, a mizbech, a golden mizbech. It's smaller in nature. That's where the kataris is burnt, generally. Not now. But that's where the kataris is burnt. To the left of it, again, I'm talking about now as you're walking eastbound. Sorry, I didn't mean eastbound. As you're walking westbound. Thank you. So on your left, you're going to be seeing the menorah. And on the right, you're going to be seeing the Shochan. Then you're going to be walking to the curtain, and you're going to get past the curtain in terms of going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, the discussion we're going to be having for the remainder of today's daf is a really simple discussion, and that is, what's his flight path? Okay, not exactly flight path, he's walking. But what exactly is going to be his path to get there? There are a number of routes that he could take, and the Mishnah and the Gemara in the remainder of today's daf is going to be going over the various routes. So let's see the Mishnah sign. So So he's now walking it through the Heichal until he gets to the two curtains. Oh wow! So the Mishnah over here is describing not one but two partitions, partitioning the Heichal from the Kodesh Kedoshim. Hamavdilos ben Kosher ben Kodesh Kedoshim ubeinayim ama. Now, how exactly does this work? How are there two curtains? So what you're going to be doing is as follows. Is that the two curtains are there. The two curtains are only one amma apart from one another. And now what he's going to do is he's going to walk in through an opening. Obviously, there's an opening on one of the sides. I'll give it away now. The opening is going to be on the southern side. And then what he's going to do is he's going to walk between the curtains. There's not a lot of room. It's only an amma. And also you have to take into account the actual width of the curtain itself. And also keep in mind, by the way, as he's walking now, he's headed between the curtains. He's headed northbound. until he gets all the way to the north side, and there he's going to be making, obviously, the left-hand turn in order to walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So, Ubineim Amma. This is all a description of the Beis HaMikdash according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Haisa Shema La Paroches Achas Bavad, Shenemar, Vihivdi La Paroches Lachem Bein HaKodesh HaBein Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Rabbi Yossi says, I don't know what you're talking about. Two curtains? What two curtains are you talking about? It's one partition, partitioning the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay. So, good. Okay. You're excellent memory. So Shapir Kamalu Rabbi Yossi La Rabbanan. So the Gemara now points out that Rabbi Yossi is making an excellent point in that he's quoting a pasuk in the Torah. Okay, hard to make a better point than that. So v'rabbanan amar lecha. So the Chachamim will say to you. So hani mila b'mishkan. So the Chachamim will say, yeah, okay, you're right. Meaning the Torah is describing the Mishkan, and the Torah is describing it one partition. Okay, you're good. So avav b'mikdash sheni kevin de lo have amatraxin. So, but when it comes to the second base of Mikdash, you know, we didn't have the Amatraxin. I'll go over that term in just a moment. So, Uve Mikdash Rishon Hu Dehave, and in the base, in the first base of Mikdash, they had the Amatraxin. So, V'istapakta Luhu L'Rabbanan Bikdu Shasai Yikilefnimi Kilechutz V'Avishtei Paroches. And so now, and by Sheni, so now, they didn't have the Amatraxin. The Amatraxin is a wall. It's an actual physical wall separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So in the Mishkan and in the first base of Mikdash, they had that wall. That wall was an amma thick. Good. So there, perfect. So that's what the pasuk is describing. But in the second base of Mikdash, according to the Tanakhama, they didn't have the amma traxin. Now Rashi over here explains it was really a structural issue. It's an engineering issue. Second base of Mikdash was huge. There are two floors to the base of Mikdash. So the first floor went up 40 amas high, right? Rashi over here says 100, but that's probably a mistake that crept into Rashi. And it's funny. As I was going through the Rashi, I figured it out. I don't know if I'm right, but I think I'm right in that somebody wrote a mem and then somebody later thought, oh, the mem stands for mea. Okay. Anyway, mem is 40. So it's 40 amas high to get from the floor to the top of the first, to the ceiling of the first floor. And then the next level is 40 amas high. And then with all the material, building material, the total height of the Beis HaMikdash was 100 amas high. Okay, anyway, that all goes back to the Mishnayos and Midos. But anyway, structurally it was huge. To create a single partition going up 40 amas high, so from an engineering standpoint is very hard, so they didn't do that. So what did they do in the second base of Mikdash? And by the way, the Mishkan obviously was not nearly that big. The Mishkan was only 10 amas high. And the first base of Mikdash also was not that big. Okay, I don't have an exact number for you in terms of the first base of Mikdash, but it's simply put, it wasn't that tall. Okay, but so you get to the second base of Mikdash and it was much bigger edifice. And so therefore, the best thing they could do is just lay a curtain down, separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But as the Gemara just pointed out, but now I'm explaining it, the problem, of course, is that the curtain is really thin. And we know that the wall itself, when there was a wall, filled an entire amma. So now, an amma, six tfachim. So now, where should I put the curtain? On the front end of where the wall was? On the back end of where the wall was? Where exactly is the demarcation of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So those are all wonderful questions they didn't know. So here's what they did. It's actually a really simple solution. And that is that they just put a curtain on the front end, a curtain on the back end. And now, obviously with a hollow gap in the middle, but that's how they solve for the problem. Okay. So that's all how the Chachamim understood the second base of Mikdash. And I guess Rav Yossi just didn't see it that way. I don't know. And again, it's one of those debates where you had the second base of Mikdash and they were looking at it. Most of the Tanaim were looking at it. And how this could be open to a debate, and Rabbi Yossi could be arguing on what it actually was during the second base of Mikdash. It's one of those machloks in where I don't really have a good way to present how they're arguing about it. But anyway, they're arguing about it. Tana Rabbanan, let's finish up our daf today. We are towards the bottom of Nanal from Ad Beis, about a dozen lines from the bottom. So Tana Rabbanan, Beina Mizbech, Lemanorah, Hayah Mahalach Divrei, Rabbi Yehuda. Right? I assume it's Rabbi Yehuda. I could be right. Anyway, we're now talking about the flight path, meaning he's going to be walking. So how exactly is he going to be walking? you know what, I'd like to... Yeah, I'll say it's Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So the so he's going to be walking Bein HaMizbech LaMenorah. Now remember, there's only three items to navigate around in the Heichal itself. There is the menorah. Obviously, he's going to be walking around the menorah. Sorry. There's the Mizbeach. And obviously, he's going to be walking around the Mizbeach. And then, again, as he's walking westbound, so there is a Shulchan to the right and a menorah to the left. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to be walking between the Mizbeach and the menorah. And Rabbi Meir, Omer, Bein Shulchan LaMizbeach. And then Rabbi Meir says, no, he's going to be walking between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. So should he be making, when he gets to the Mizbeach, should he be going, flanking it on the left side, flanking it on the right side? So we have a debate. The Gemara in a moment just going to explain what the debate is. V'yeshomim ben shulchan l'kosel. And then there's a third opinion, and that is between the shulchan and the kosel. Okay. Which puts them basically hugging the northern wall. Okay, if you could see this as clearly as I'm seeing it right now. Okay, so, man yeshomim. Now this yeshomim, amar of chista, Rabbi Yossi hi. I was right. That was Rabbi Yehuda at the beginning of the Braitza. Good. So the Rav Chisda says it's Rav Yossi. Damar Pischa b'tzafon kai. Because here's Rav Yossi's position. Now remember, Rav Yossi said that was one partition. Now obviously there has to be an opening to get from the Kodeshim to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Rav Yossi says, look, with one partition, so the opening is going to be on the north side. Everyone's of the position. This is Rashi's point. I'm just right now presenting Rashi. Everyone's of the position that when you walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're coming in from the north. If you're a one partition Tana, meaning Rav Yossi, so that means that the opening is going to be fully on the northern side. Now, if you are a two partition, Tana, like the Tanakam of our Mishnah, so what's going to happen is that the opening is going to be on the south. You're going to be walking between the curtains, and then you're going to head northbound till you get to the northern side, and then you're going to walk in. So now, if you're Reb Yossi, which the Acherim are, so that means to say now that you're walking in on the northern side. So that's why, how now is the Kohen Gadol going to be walking? So the way he's going to be walking is basically hugging the northern wall, according to the Acherim. And that will now just give him a straight line right into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rav Yehuda Amar Lecha Pischa B'Darim Kai. Now Rav Yehuda is of the position that the entrance is on the south. In other words, he's a two-partition Tana. And that means to say that when you're walking into the first partition, you're going on the southern side, and then you're going to be walking between the curtains all the way to the north. So that means that you're coming in from the Heichal, from the south. Rabbi Meir Kaman Svirale. Good. So now, what we've done now is that we explained the Shita of the Acherim. He's going like Rabbi Yossi. We explained the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like the Tanakam of our Mishnah. So now, Rabbi Meir. Where's Rabbi Meir stand on all this? In the Braisa that we just quoted, Rabbi Meir says that he's walking Bein HaShochan LeMizbech, between the Shochan and the Mizbech. So, E, Karebi Huda, Sphere, Lay, Nail, Karebi Huda. If he holds like Rabbi Huda, so have him go, towards the south. And E, Karebi Osi, Sphere, Lay, Nail, Karebi Osi. And if he holds like Rabbi Osi, we'll have him hugging the northern wall. So, Lolam, Karebi Osi, Sphere, Lay. So the Gemara suggests the following. Maybe he really does hold like Rabbi Osi. Vam Lecha, Shochan and Safan Vadar Munachin. Ume Paska Lay, Shochan Velom Mit Ayole. So one issue could be the following. Remember, not so long ago in our Masechta we described the additional shulchanos that were made by Shlomo HaMelech for the to accentuate the shulchan in the Heichal, and that based on its configuration, it just simply does not allow for a northern pass. Right, all those tables are basically blocking your pathway, and that's why you can't walk on the northern side. It's just a pragmatic issue. Ebay same, the Gemara says, alternatively, la'olam, mizrach u'marav munachim, maybe the configuration of those extra shulchanos were east-west, and maybe there was really a path that he could take that would be northbound. U'mishim shchina, lav arach ara, lameo, and it could just simply be that because of the shchina, lameo lehedja, meaning to walk in a path that basically is a direct line into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, meaning we're looking for more tznius over here. So for him to just basically face it, the moment he walks into the Heichal, flush against the northern wall, right against the opening, it's right. That's a lot of kedusha. It demands more tznius. So that's why he prefers a somewhat more southern pathway, so that you're not facing the opening, and the first time that you're really seeing into the Kodesh HaKadoshim is when you're walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'Rav Yossi Amar Lecha, Chavim V'Yisrael Shelo Yitzrichen HaKasov L'Shliach. So, and what Rabbi Yossi will tell you, remember, Rabbi Yossi is of the position that he does walk flush in. So what about the tznius? What about the kedusha? So Rabbi Yossi will tell you, look, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shelo Yitzrichen HaKasov L'Shliach. Meaning, there's a certain chaviv, a certain belovedness that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It is a Kohen Gadol, it is on Yom Kippur. And, okay. In other words, he can have that kind of, intimate relationship, if you will, that he can walk directly in. In other words, basically go right against the northern wall. You're looking right at the entrance, and that's fine. And he can go straight in. And V'Rav Yehuda Nami Neol Main Menor Lekosel. The Gemara, one last follow-up question for today. According to Rabbi Yehuda, remember, Rabbi Yehuda's two partitions, so that means that the Kohen Gadol is now going to be heading towards the south side. How is he walking? Between the Mizbech and the Menorah. The Gemara wants to know, look, if ultimately he's got to hit that southern wall anyway, so why not just hug the southern wall? Right? Why not do it that way? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because the southern wall is dirty, right? For good reason. The Menorah is not that far away from the southern wall. Right, anytime you go to a shul and you see an Eish Tamid, a real Eish Tamid, meaning fire. So what you're always going to find is basically the wall there has soot. Right, our Shabbos candles is not that far away from the wall. Right, I concern myself with the fire hazard. So, whatever, it creates soot on the wall. So over there, the southern wall of the Heichal's got soot over there. And the problem is that the Kohen Gadol dressed in white. So if he hugs the wall, so he may bump up against the wall, and there goes his white clothing. So, okay, good. So another pragmatic issue. According to Rabbi Yehuda, so he is going to go to the south, but basically take a southern path, but not all the way against the southern wall, as he may rub up against the wall. It's a good place to stop. Let's quickly review our daf today. The first half of today's daf was all just follow-up and tying up loose ends from yesterday's daf. The Par Kohen Gadol, Karban Yachin, maybe. Okay? Terrible way to conclude a daf, by the way, but yeah, that's where we're ending off today. So maybe is a Karban Yachin. And maybe all the way to the extent where it can even affect a Temura, perhaps, possibly. That's where the Gemara continued its discussion from yesterday's daf, the Braisa. The Bryce's term of Zevach, what's the Zevach making reference to? A carbon that is both Docha Shabbos and Docha Tumah and a carbon Yachid. We think it's the part, but the Gemara says now there are other candidates of what it could be. It could be the aisle. It could possibly be the carbon Pesach. Even more possibly, but unlikely, could be the Pesach Sheni. Okay, fine. The Bryce yesterday said that the Chagiga is a carbon Tzibur, carbon Pesach is a carbon Yachid. All right, that kind of terminology, meaning there is an ambiguity to whether or not the Pesach and the Chagiga are public or private karbanos. It's private; it's coming out of private pocket, the money. On the other hand, we're all bringing it together. There's a communal nature to it. So the Gemara says, yeah, basically you're right. It's somewhere exists between the Karban Yachid and Karban Tzibur. It just happens to be that relative to one another, the Karban Chagiga is more communal than that of the Karban Pesach, because the carbon Pesach also includes within the Pesach Sheni, and that for sure is a private carbon. Just one other point to go over from the Amud Aleph. Is the Pesach Sheni going to override Tumah? We learned today, it's a machlokas, Tanayim, whether or not Pesach Sheni overrides Tumah. And then finally on the Amud Beis, in terms of the review, so the Gemara one more time try to demonstrate it to carbon Yachid. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol has to pay it out of his own pocket, and he can't even go to the other Kohanim for a collection. He has to pay it out of his own pocket. So it's a Karban Yachid, right? The Gemara says not necessarily. Maybe what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does is he distributes shares of the Karban to the other Kohanim, even though the Kohen himself is the one who's paying for the 100% shares. He's paying for it out of his own pocket, but then a Kadosh Baruch Hu shares the shares. Okay. The Mishnah on the Amud Beis, so it takes us now to the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, the partition separating the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Mishnah, Machlokas, whether it's one partition, two partitions. One partition is the position of Rabbi Yossi, two partitions. the position in the Tanna Kamma. In the Gemara, so first of all, Rabbi Yossi quotes a pasuk. The Gemara says, yeah, the Tanna Kamma agrees. You do have a pasuk. On the other hand, what you also have is Bayis Sheni was just structurally different. It was taller. And so therefore, you couldn't have one partition. There was two partitions. There was two curtains, you know, filling in that gap of where the Amatroxin once upon a time was. And then finally, the last thing we discussed today, Kohen Gadol is now going to be making a path towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What is that path? So there are a lot of variables to take into consideration, and that's where we ended off. The most important variable is, where's the opening? Is the opening on the north or the opening on the south? If you're a one-partition person, opening is going to be on the north. If you're two partitions, opening from the Heichal is going to be in the south. That's one variable. Another variable is going to be all those extra shulchanos in the north, how are they configured? Another variable is going to be that even if you're going to go in the south to hug the southern wall and get your clothing dirty, that you can't do. Okay, so there are a number of variables to take into consideration. Ad kan.